And, you know, I'm starting to wonder. I mean, I'm not looking for an amen when I say this. I'm not a very good singer in the first place. I didn't wait until the ninth day or the eighth day to give it a try. It might not have been the wisest decision I ever made, but it took me a while to feel you guys out. And, amen. And then, of course, we did such a wonderful job, Mrs. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. There's this preacher, and he had an appointment downtown. He had an appointment downtown, and he couldn't find a parking place. It was a real important appointment. And so he drove around, and he drove around, and he couldn't find a space with a meter. So he parked illegally, put a note in the windshield wiper, and the note said this. I have circled this block 100 times. If I don't park here, I'll miss my appointment. And then big capital letters he wrote, forgive us our trespasses. So he went to his appointment. When he came back, there's a citation and a note from the policeman. And it says, I've been circling this block for 10 years. And if I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. And then in big capital letters he wrote, lead us not into temptation. Yeah, not like a Christian policeman. Boy, they'll get you every time. Take your Bible tonight and open it to Ezekiel chapter 1. Now, every night, your pastors have been saying, invite someone. And some of you have. And I don't know who, because, you know, you're all strangers to me. Not as strange as you were a week ago. Let me say it again. I really appreciate the gracious fellowship that we've been shown. I just want to say, I invited a guest. Stand up, Glenn. This is my friend, and we're working on some things for the Texas prison ministry together. He lives up by Temple. I could say Troy, but no one would know where that is. You can sit down now. And Brother Glenn and I have more in common than either one of us wants to admit. Amen. But the good thing about that is that redemption that Brother Bill was talking about, that is the most important thing we have in common. And he came down here to be with you, and I appreciate everybody being friendly and everything. And so I just want to introduce my friend, Ezekiel chapter 1 tonight. Now, we've been at this for a while now, and we've hit a lot of subjects, and I know I've marveled you with my theological depth a few times, especially last night. Yeah, amen. I didn't bring the duck call tonight. But let's look at a passage tonight that, maybe a little intricate. Let's begin in verse 4. We're talking about Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 10, or verse number 4. Verse number 4. And he writes this, and I looked and beheld a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was upon it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces. And everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet. Are you getting the picture here? Pretty clear. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on the four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings, and their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went, everyone, straight forward. Verse number 10. And as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. They four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Now, if you're like me in here tonight, and the first time you read that, or the second time, or however many times you read that, and you thought, what in the world? If you try to grasp that, amen, maybe it was difficult. So what I would like to do tonight is to describe exactly what those four living creatures look like in a way that you'll never struggle with that again. That's what I'd like to do tonight. The problem is, I can't get it either. You know why? And there's just some things that you're going to have to wait till you get to heaven. There's some things that God describes in that book. You're just going to have to take by faith whether you can get it or not. Amen. And I don't know about you, but that's one of them. Because I try to get it, and that's a little complicated. I'm going to tell you this, though. I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. I know what their purpose is. In Revelation 4 and verse 8, it says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when they got done, they said, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when they got done, they said, "Holy, holy, holy, which was, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And that's what they do. For all eternity. Aren't you looking forward to being in that place, amen, with a glorified body that'll get you the ability, amen, to appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ getting the worship he deserves? I'm looking forward to that, amen. There's some things that, let's face it, man, on our best day, with our best efforts, amen, we don't give him what he deserves, amen, but one day he's going to get it, and I'm glad I'm going to be in on it. You got four living creatures here, and they represent the four major genres of animal life. Okay, the man, that's the human, and then the wild animals represented by the lion. The domesticated animal is represented by the ox, and the flying animal is not represented by the duck tonight. It's represented by the eagle. Now, there's another beast, but he's not mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 1. Amen. He's a cross between a reptile and an amphibian. That one had a name, and it was Lucifer. And he is not round about the throne of God saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Amen. So we're not worried about him tonight. We're not concerned. We don't take him for granted by any means. But I want to preach to you tonight on these four faces that we mentioned. The man, the lion, the ox, and the eagle. And I want to give you a way to look at those four faces so that we can practically apply them to our Christian life. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, once again, we come to you in the name that is above every name. And Lord God, I'm so glad to be saved tonight. I'm glad for the amazing grace. I'm glad that my chains have fallen off. I'm glad to be free tonight. And I'm glad that I still am able to come together with other believers in public like this, in a building that declares who we are and why we're here. Outside that church sign says the church that meets in Jesus' name. And Lord God, help us not to forget that all over this world, there are believers that are just as saved as we are, who love the Lord just as much as we do, or who love the Word of God, and they can't meet like this. And Lord God, I fear that to some degree we're taking that freedom for granted, and I pray to God you'd bear witness to our hearts to appreciate it, and then and take what we get from being able to do it, and get out there and get busy for you.
Amen.
I love you, Lord, tonight. I pray you come back before the prayer's over. But if you don't, Lord God, help us to be found faithful. I love you tonight. If there's somebody here that's not saved, I pray you'd make it easy for them to see that whatever need they may have, there's no more important need than that. There's no greater miracle that's ever been done than the new birth. And like Brother Bill said, and you're still in the business of doing that, to whosoever shall call. So if someone needs a call tonight, I pray that they would. And for the rest of us, help us get something. Help me say something, make some kind of sense And we'll sure praise you and give you the glory for that if it could happen in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen and amen. All right. All right. Four faces tonight. The first face here on the list was the face of the man. And so let's go to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. And that's what we're going to look at first, Psalm 8. And in verse number 3, the Bible says this. Psalm 8, in verse number 3, the Bible says this. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? That's the right way to keep it in perspective. We live in a day and age where people have convinced themselves that they're the greatest thing to come along since sliced bread, and the psalmist puts it in perspective here when he says, gives God the glory for creating the moon and the stars and everything else, the heavens. And then compared to the other things God has created, he's got the right idea, the humble approach. What is man? I'll be saying to you tonight that there have been many times after the preaching of God's word, I've responded to an old-fashioned invitation. I've gone to an altar, and I have said that, I've prayed that, I've asked God, what is man? I'm talking about, why would you do that? Because I tell you, I've been overwhelmed at times that God would care enough about the likes of you and I to even speak to us. Amen. To give us the time of day, and literally, he does. The breath we breathe, and literally, he does. And not only that, Jezebel over there in Revelation, I believe in chapter 2, he gives us a space to repent. And there have been times where the Spirit of God has bore witness to His Spirit within me, and I've come to an altar. I'm talking about weeping. I'm talking about just being glad to be saved.
Amen. Amen.
What is man? I'm going to tell you what man is. Take your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 tonight. Let's look in verse 26. That first face is the face of a man. In verse 26, it says there in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. The question tonight, what is man? I'll tell you what man is. Of all the things God created in 6 days of creation, man, I'm talking about male and female. I'm talking about the human race is the only thing that was created in the image of God. God is a triune being. You know that? You know that? You know that man is spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe it is verse 18 that tells you that. But ask yourself this, have you never been guilty, even though you know man's a triune being, even though you know exactly what those three parts are, have you ever been guilty of saying body, soul, and spirit? When you've named body, soul, and spirit. You know, I look at that thing, and one day I got a handle on that thing. That's just like that stinking, deceitful flesh trying to take the preeminence. Listen, in God's economy, the order of importance is not body, soul, and spirit. In God's economy, number one is the spirit, then the soul, then the body. Man was created in the image of God, in that God is a triune being. You know what they are? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And when we ask the question, what is man? Well, he's the only thing that God created in his own image. That makes it pretty important if you ask me.
Amen.
It said there in verse 26, and let them have dominion. And then he named everything. And that's who man is. God gave man you know, we think of dominion that he put him in charge. He gets to be the boss. I look at that thing, look to me like dominion speaks more of responsibility than authority. He gave him dominion. He gave him the responsibility to dress and keep the garden and to look after all the things that God had created there in the garden. Amen. What a great responsibility. Chapter 2 and verse 7. People are leaving already, man. I can't believe it. Chapter 2 and verse 7, it says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And of everything that God created, the only thing that is described as a living soul is mankind, human race. Hey, that first face tonight that we're going to discuss is the face of a man. And I'm going to tell you why he was made into a living soul. Because mankind was created for fellowship with God. Amen. Everything else were just things that he created, but mankind was created for this specific purpose of fellowship with God. And in verse 31, at the end of the sixth day, instead of God saying, "And it was good, and it was good, and it was good," after he created man, he said, "It was very good." Amen. Very good. And I tell you what, and you all know this, in Genesis chapter 3, mankind, God's prize creation, became the target of the enemy of everything righteous, and fellowship with God was severed because, well, it's stated in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, sin entered. And it's still that way. And sin's passed down. Amen. And fellowship with God, our creative purpose, was severed by sin. And God came up with a solution to that problem. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's what God did to fix what the devil did. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, when we look at the face of that man, here's what we need to be thinking about. We need to be thinking about mankind. I'm talking about men and women and boys and girls were created, amen, for a very special reason for God, and sin has corrupted their purpose, but God cares enough about them that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. I tell you what, if they're that important to God, maybe on more occasion than we do, maybe we ought to stop and reconsider, reevaluate how important they are to us. Listen, the church of Jesus Christ is not a clique, and it's not a club, and it's not a social organization. The church of Jesus Christ was left here to be a witness because God loved man. Psalmist said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And man is, again, the Lord's prize creation. Amen. It said there in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 10, it says, "And as for the likeness of their faces, they forehead the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. They four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle." And that first face tonight was the face of a man. But the second face on that list there in verse 10 was the face of a lion. The face of a lion. I like that. I like that. I like the idea of a lion. Here's why. Because in Revelation chapter 5, in verse 5, the Bible says, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." I'll tell you what, I like that. When I look through the list of the names of my lovely Lord, he came as a lamb the first time, and thank God he did, and thank God he was willing to do what he did, because had he not become the Lamb of God, which took away the sin of the world, look at us, we would have no hope. But I'm telling you, hey, he's coming back.
Amen.
Not coming back as a lamb. Not coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion of the tribe of Judah. Hey, listen tonight. That second face on that list that we're looking at tonight was the face of a lion. I'll tell you how important that is. The great imitator, the great deceiver himself, and it said, and we've used the verse this week, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's not a lion. He's a phony. Amen. I'm not saying he's not powerful. I'm not saying he's to be not taken seriously, but he's not a lion. My Savior's the lion.
Amen.
Of the
amen.
Tribe of Judah. And when I see that face listed, I'm reminded, amen, of my Savior. But I'll tell you what, there's some other things said about a lion there. It says in Proverbs 30, in verse number 30, it says this, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. Wow, that's quite a statement right there. Now, I remember as a kid, I grew up out in the country outside of Toledo, Ohio. And Toledo, Ohio is not a real big town by any means, but it had a pretty good zoo. And we're talking back in the 50s, so we're talking about when you went to the zoo, animals lived in, God forbid, cages. Now they have habitats. Now they've got to be politically, habitationally, that everything's got to be just right. Oh, that's the wrong kind of tree to put with that kind of rhinoceros. I can't believe that rhinoceros could care less what kind of habitat you've got him in. I'm glad I was raised in a much simpler age. You went to the zoo, you went into the carnivore house, and there was big cages. I remember going in there, 7, 8, something like that. And going in there, and there it was, the first cage. Amen. The first one on the corner, there's a full-grown male African lion. Here, I'm just a little guy, and I'm looking at that thing, and I'm going to tell you what, television doesn't do them justice. They're huge. There's big old paws, big old head. And I'm standing there, and it's the first time I ever saw a lion. And boy, I tell you what, I was impressed until that thing turned. He was walking, he turned, he looked right at me, and he licked his lips, and I knew what he had on his mind. I started to step back, but there's a cheetah in that cage, so I'm walking the line here. And I tell you what, I got to tell you, man, first time I saw a lion, real life. I was impressed. And I remember just what you've been taught and told all your life. The lion is the king of the beasts, right? Amen? So I remember thinking, wow, no wonder, man. He's scary looking, serious looking, huge. But, man, I walked down the center, too. You better know. And the next cage, there was a full-grown male Bengal tiger. They're scary, too. Very scary. Huge. Bigger than the lion. It was. I mean, I'm looking at them both in the two cages. Kind of like when we go to county jail. And here's the lion. And here the tiger's a little taller, a little longer. And he did the same thing. He looked over at little David and he licked his lips at him saying, man, I got to get out of here. I look like a little pork chop to these guys. And I remember thinking of this as a kid. You know, all my life, 7 years, I heard the lion was the king of the beasts. But I'm going, that don't make sense because the tiger, if I was a betting little kid, I would have bet on a tiger. But I'm going to ask you a question tonight, and I'm going to answer it, so don't raise your hand. Why is the lion the king of the beasts? He's not the biggest. Amen. And there's a lot of beasts that are mean and powerful, but I'm going to tell you why the lion's the king of the beasts, and it's in the verse right there in Proverbs 30. A lion which is strongest among beasts, number one, and turneth not away from any. You know why the lion's king of the beasts? Because God put put courage in his heart. You know, we learned this on the street. You've heard it said, I guess. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. And boy, when I look at that lion and I see it mentioned in the Bible, and I'm reminded that that lion represents courage. Now, we had the face of the man, but I want to tell you something about that lion. Let me get my page turned over here. Proverbs 28, verse number 1 says this, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." And that lion, like I said, that lion's face represents courage. And I'm going to tell you what, courage is what's needed in this day and age. Amen. If we're going to make a stand and represent Jesus Christ. Listen, there's a lot of limp-wristed, no courage going on these days where everybody gets together and sings kumbaya and does a big group hug. That ain't winning nobody.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Their boldness didn't come from their education. It didn't come with the crowd they ran with. It didn't come with their... It came because they'd been with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. In this perverse, spiritually dark day and age which we live, this world, people you know, people you care about, people you work with, their only hope is that they see that somebody has been with Jesus. "As for the likeness of their faces, they had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side." And that first face, man's prized creation. We need to consider when we pass people day to day, wherever it is, work or school or at the marketplace, amen, wherever it is, we need to ask God, "God, give me an open door. Give me a chance to hand out a tract. Maybe give me a amen," because God loved man that much. Maybe we need to love him a little bit more. And I'll tell you what, if we're going to do that, like I preached the other night, we're not going to be appreciated. We're going to need some courage. When I see the face of that lion, it isn't just something I'm putting together. Listen, that early church, them new Christians, they had courage. Amen. The boldness of Peter and John. Face number 2 is face of a lion. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, we're gonna pick it up there where it says, right about the middle of verse where it says, "Much increase." And I'm not resting the scriptures. We're gonna go back and get the first part later. But here's what it says, Proverbs 14, about the middle, it says, "Much increase is by the strength of the ox." That third face we're talking about tonight on the four living creatures was the face of an ox. Let me tell you something about ox. Like you in Texas need to be told what an ox is. I mean, I came out of the Dalros house today, and I looked across the street. There's old Texas Longhorn just laying in the grass. Just, I'm saying, we got to take some pictures and send these to our grandkids. They're never going to believe it. But I'm going to help you tonight. Ox is big. Ox is strong. Ox is tough. Ox tastes good. I'm going to tell you what. Beef. It's what's for supper. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, in some circles, the chicken is the national bird. So I'm not going to mention any names, but I'm going to tell you my chicken joke. There's this guy driving down the road out in the country. And all of a sudden out of the woods, a chicken runs out and makes a hard right turn and starts running up the road. And this chicken is going really fast. And the guy, he accelerated. He'd never seen a chicken run that fast. And he accelerated and got up going 30, 35 miles an hour and got up, almost caught the chicken. And he noticed why the chicken was running so fast. Chicken had three legs. Three-legged chicken. The guy couldn't believe it. No wonder he's so fast. He's got three legs. And the guy's following the chicken a little while, and that chicken, three-legged chicken can corner. Amen. This chicken made a hard right up this driveway and ran up toward the barn, and the guy, he's got to talk to somebody, find out what in the world was going on with a three-legged chicken. He turned in the driveway. He headed up toward the barn, and as he got closer, there were three-legged chickens everywhere. They were running. They were zooming, man. They were running around the barnyard and everything. And the guy saw this old farmer. So he goes up and he says, "This is amazing. What's going on? Three-legged chickens. I never heard of a three-legged chicken. Where'd they come from?" The old farmer says, "Well, yeah, I got a big family and we kill a couple chickens for Sunday dinner. And a drumstick is my kid's favorite piece. And so I worked with it for a while and figured out how to breed a three-legged chicken so we'd have more drumsticks when we sat down to have dinner." And the guy said, "That's an amazing story. How do they taste?" And the guy said, "We don't know. We've never been able to catch one." We're talking about beef, though. Amen. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 9. Say, that doesn't make sense. Hey, how do you work that joke into a message? I got to stick it in somewhere. I like it, personally. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 9, Bible says this, "For it is written in the law of Moses," that'd be in Deuteronomy 25, "Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn." Doth God take care for oxen? Of course. It says, "The ox that treadeth out the corn." Treading out the corn involves being yoked to a big old wheel in a grist mill. Treading out the corn like that involves spending day in and day out walking around in a circle. Not very glamorous, not very exciting, important job. Because what he's grinding is what they made their food with, but it's sure not a very exciting job. Maybe that's why they call it work. We live in a day and age where people are unemployed and stay unemployed because they can't find anything they like. Say, "Go out and find a job." "Well, I tried." "Well, we drive by help wanted signs all the time." "Well, that doesn't sound like fun." No, no. Fun starts with an F. Work. Hey, if you get something you enjoy doing, that'd be something to shoot for. But until then, you do what you have to do. Amen. That's why they call it work. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You'll never have me on national television with that kind of talk. The ox is not fast. It's not pretty. But he's a worker. When I think about the face of that ox, you know what I'm reminded of? Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 2. I'm reminded that God left us here to work. Amen. God left us here to work. Now, you know, we know that that doesn't mean that we're supposed to work to get saved. All right, we know that. I'm on the same page with you for sure. It says in verse number 8 there in Ephesians 2, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And then it even goes on to say it for anybody that's struggling with English, "not of works, lest any man should boast." If we could work our way to heaven, if we could educate our way to heaven, if we could clean up our act enough to get into God's heaven, two things. Number one, that's what we'd be bragging about when we got there. That's exactly what that means. lest any man should boast. It had to be a gift. It had to be of me for you to worship me like I deserve.
Amen.
And I got no problem with that.
Amen. Amen.
And second thing is, if there was any way that anybody could possibly work their way to heaven, then that whole account of what the Lord Jesus Christ had to do would be the most morbid story in the history of mankind. But I'll tell you what, it was absolutely imperative, because that book says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
And nobody's getting there except through the blood. It
Amen.
Says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I looked that up in the original English, and it means, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's really that simple. So, that ox is a worker, and God left us here to work, but He didn't leave us here to work to get saved. And I'll tell you something else. He didn't leave us here to work to stay saved.
Amen.
I know that's fundamental to you and I, but there's people that believe that. There's people that believe that you're saved by your works. Wrong. But then there's people that they'll claim to believe, verse 8, and it says, for by grace he is saved through faith, and they'll claim to believe that, and if they do, then they really get saved the right way. But then they'll say that you have to work to keep it. I had a guy talking to me one time, and he knew I was a Bible believer, and he said this, you guys believe that a person can't lose their salvation.
Amen.
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 And I looked at him and I said, I don't believe that. He wanted to have an argument. He didn't know who he was arguing with, because I don't play that well with others, actually. But I said, I don't believe that. I don't. He said, you don't? I said, no. I believe you can lose your salvation. He didn't know what to think. Then I looked at him and I said, but if you ever get His, you'll never lose it. You ever get His salvation, you'll never lose it. Hey, the Lord didn't leave us here to work to get saved. He didn't leave us here to work to get saved. The next verse says, for we are His. We are His. Are you His tonight? We are His workmanship. You ever get His, you'll never lose it. There's that button. That's a button? I wouldn't wear anything that had a button like that. But my wife might, so I'll take it. Amen. Never know. Amen. Or I'll trip over it or something. Lord did not leave us here to work to get saved. Lord did not leave us here to work to stay saved. But I'll tell you what He did do. Verse 10 says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I'll tell you what, He left us here to work toward getting other people saved. Amen. And I got news for you tonight. There's no shortage of work. Yeah. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, the Lord said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There's no shortage of work, but there is a shortage of oxen, according to Matthew chapter 9. The Lord said, then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I'm going to tell you what, man. Those four faces represent man and represent that lion. But that fourth face, face of that ox is a worker. And there's plenty of work to be done. I'm glad somebody, amen, had his hand to the plow when he came into a county jail 24 years ago and told me I had bigger problems in prison. Amen. Aren't you glad somebody is working for the Lord, Brother Glenn? Amen. I'm going to tell you what, there's no shortage of work, but I'll tell you what, sometimes there's a shortage of laborers.
Amen.
That's what that oxen reminds me of. We need to get busy about the Father's business. You know, the first part of that verse in Proverbs 14, verse 4, said, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. Clean, pretty, smells nice. That's like modern apostate Christianity. All about appearance, all about looks. Amen. Look at our cathedral of praise. Let's all sing Kumbaya together. It sounds like I got a problem with that song, doesn't it? I do. That ain't what does that mean? It does. I'm telling you what, we're here to praise Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, that's what they want. That's what modern Christianity is about. Clean crib, everything in order. I'm going to tell you what, to get that, here's what you got to do. You got to throw that King James Bible out the window. Then you can have everything nice and orderly and decent, and everybody's quiet and everybody's real dignified. I'm going to tell you what, God didn't lead us here for that.
Amen.
God left us here to work.
Amen.
And we need to get busy.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. And now I know some of you have been busy. And maybe all of you have been busy. But it ain't quitting time.
Right.
So let's stay busy. When I think about that ox, from now on, when you see an ox, you think, Brother Burton said, that's a reminder that we need to get busy and do some work. Some of you are going to see an ox, you're going to think, and Brother Burton told us, it's time for lunch. But that's the two go hand in hand, no conflict. It's beef, it's what's for lunch. Goes good with the eggs. Okay, moving on. It says, as for the likeness of their faces, that fourth face was the face of an ox. They four also had the face of an eagle. Eagle. What a majestic bird. Eagles are known for some things. I did some research. You'll be impressed. Eagles are known for their strength. Here's some of the things I read. An eagle, I suppose it has something to do with the wind and everything optimal, but an eagle's, a full-grown male eagle's capable of speeds of 150 miles an hour. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Listen, when I was a paratrooper in the United States Army, no matter what aircraft, whether we're jumping out of a C-141 jet, or a C-130 prop job, regardless of what aircraft, regardless of what the aircraft is capable of, to let paratroopers out, you slowed that thing down to 150 miles an hour. Amen. And I had the privilege out of 34 jump to be first man in the door 7, 8, 9 times. What a blessing that was. Boy, you get to be the one to stand there with your toes in your jump boots out the door of that aircraft, that thing doing 150 miles an hour, 1,200 to 2,000 feet high. You're loaded down with equipment. You put your fingers on the outside of that aircraft, and you wait till that light turns green. You can see it in your peripheral vision, and if you can't, there's a big old jump master that's going to make sure you feel it. Now, I remember standing there, and I just want to say to you, if up there in that aircraft, I looked out, and there was an eagle flying along at the same speed as that plane, I probably would have got my mind off what I was supposed to do. Is that amazing? Hey, eagles are known for their strength. Amen. The strength in their wings. It says they can dive, or they've been clocked, I guess, to dive from a height of half a mile. At speeds of up to 200 miles an hour. It's amazing. You pick up a little speed, old Mr. Gravity kicks in. Amen. You got to have good brakes, too. Amen. And once prey is secured, an eagle can carry its own body weight several miles. We're talking 12 to 15 pounds. Yeah, they're not just catching rabbits. Amen. They can pick up a lamb. They can pick up a dog. Amen. Or a dog like mine, anyway. Now, we're talking about the strength of an eagle's wings, and we all know the most famous eagle verse in the Bible is Isaiah 40 in verse 31, and it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, I just got to say that if learning, and we have to learn it, but if learning to wait upon the Lord yields that kind of strength, could I say it'd probably be a good idea? Here's what we know. God is never in as big a hurry as we are. But boy, I tell you what, when we'll learn to wait on the Lord, whatever gets done will be done right the first time. Maybe you heard this before. There's never time to do it right the first time. We always do it good enough for now. But somehow, then we always have to make time to do it over. I wonder in our Christian life if we could just learn to wait on God. When it got done, it'd be done right, and we'd be glad, and He'd be glorified. That fourth face is the face of an eagle. And when I think about that eagle and that verse, and mount up with wings, renew their strength, and mount up with wings as eagles. But all, eagles known for something else, too. Eagles known for its eyesight. Oh, yeah. And forward eye placement gives the eagle unparalleled depth perception, which is extremely important if you're diving at speeds of 200 miles an hour. Depth perception. And also, the eye placement on the eagle gives it 270 degree peripheral vision. You know why? So that he can be aware of what's going on all around him. Boy, when I think of that, you know what I'm reminded of? The verse in Ephesians chapter 5 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." I'm going to tell you something, man. There's Christians that have been knocked out of the race. Amen. There's Christians that have got involved in things that they never dreamed they'd get involved in because they got blindsided. And we've got verses that say, you need to walk circumspectly. It's more important for us to be aware, obviously, consistently, what's going on around us. I was trying to define that idea of walking circumspectly one time. I think I was in a county jail, and I said, okay, check this out. You got a neighborhood, and backyards are butted together, separated by fences, and you got a cat, and a cat wants to get from one end of the neighborhood to the other, and they'll get up on that fence and walk right along that fence, won't they? That tells you where they came from. I don't know. God didn't have anything to do with that. No, the cat lovers have already put their offering in. Okay. So here's what circumspectly means. Try to picture this stockade fence dividing these backyards, and in this backyard, there's a big old pit bull. And in the backyard on the other side of it, other side of that same fence, there's a big old Doberman or Rottweiler, whatever it is, the dog of the week. And that cat, he's going to go across. But both these dogs are bouncing up against this fence and hitting the fence and growling. And that cat knows that. Well, if either one of them get a hold of him, walking circumspectly is like this. That cat's got to walk that line and know that he's got danger on both sides, and that if he leans a little too far this way to keep away from that, well, then he's right into the jaws. You follow me? And if he leans a little bit too far this way, well, then to get away from that danger, whatever it is, then he... But that's the way it is for you and I. That's why we have to walk circumspectly. That's why we need to polish our peripheral vision, because dangers, you know, the devil's not going to come at you, especially if you've been in your Bible a little while. It says he has devices, plural, and I'm going to tell you what, he's not going to use the one that that you're looking for him to use. Eagle's got peripheral vision, and so he can see what's going on around him. I'll tell you something else. That says their eyes, we're talking about eagles now, their eyes have 3.6 times human acuity and can spot an object as small as a rabbit from 2 miles away. I can't spot a semi-truck 2 miles away. That's something, isn't it? You know what that Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse 18? It says, where no vision is, the people perish. I'll tell you something tonight, Christian. We need to have the vision of the eagle, because people are perishing all around us. And some in spite of Calvary, and some in spite of our best efforts. But I fear some, maybe because we've lost our vision. Amen. We need to get it back. Amen. As for the likeness of their faces, they forehead the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. They forehead the face of an ox on the left side. They fore also had the face of an eagle. Mankind, God's prize creation, the object of his love. In spite of succumbing to the temptation of Satan, Romans 5:8 says, God committed his love toward us. And while we're yet sinners, yes. Christ died for us. It's a good thing. Amen. That lion reminds me we need courage. Courage to stand. It says in Acts 4:29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Yeah. Yeah, that's where our boldness needs to come from. If we're going to take a stand on the street or the prisons or anywhere else, we're going to need the Lord to grant boldness. It says in John chapter 9, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And that ox reminds me that we're to work. We're to get busy about the Father's business. I don't know what kind of factories you have down here. You probably have some. Up north, they had a lot of auto plants. They'd work three shifts. And when it was shift change, an old whistle blow throughout the factory. And guys would clock out and guys would clock in. And the work never stopped. That whistle meant it was quitting time. There's no whistle in this. There's no whistle in the Christian life. Amen. That means it's not quitting time. Shift isn't over. Now, I think it's getting close, but it's not a whistle we're looking for, and it's not a whistle we're listening for. We're listening for a trumpet. And when it's over, then we're done. Then we can go home. We're not there yet. Believe me, if you're saved, you'll know it. That eagle. You know what somebody told me? The eagle is the only animal that God created that can look directly into the sun. Look directly into the sun and not damage its eyes. Its eyes are made. He's flying around way up there, and he doesn't have to worry about it. Isn't that neat? You know what I'm going to do one of these days? I'm going to look directly at the sun. Amen. 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 But until then,
That's right. We
need the vision of the eagle, so we can spot the opportunities that the Lord sends our way. Oh, there's a rough crowd out there, but I'm going to tell you what. Some of them, just like I was, just like some of you, they're looking for something real. And the devil's been throwing counterfeits at them for centuries. Somehow we made it into the few. Few there be that find it. Well, I'll tell you what. If it was over, we'd be gone. It's not over. We need to look. We need to have that vision to look for those opportunities. Four faces of the Christian tonight. Let's all stand.